Amen. Well, it sure is good to be here this morning. And we always are thankful for the opportunity God gives us to be able to be at our home church. And, you know, you go around all of these churches, and there's no place like home, as they always say. And it is the truth. And I'm thankful for our home church, a place to be able to come and be able to bring our family to when we're not on the road. And it's always a joy and pleasure to be here. Thank you for your support for us and your love and prayers for us. And you think about it this morning, I think the family of God is the greatest family on planet Earth. I hear a lot, Brother Simpson, people badmouth the people of God. But why do I want to do that this morning? And I love God's people. And, you know, you can go to a lot of different churches, and if they're saved right with God, they're family. And you know that this morning, so I'm thankful for it. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to turn to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11, I believe a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. And I pray, well, what the Lord's put on our heart this morning be a help to you. And I believe it's a familiar passage of Scripture to you this morning. And I want to try to give you what God's laid on my heart for today. Proverbs chapter number 11. And y'all have to bear with me. I've got reading glasses now. I'm getting old. Praise God. But I guess it's part of it, right? So, but Proverbs 11. And I want to read one verse and get right into what God's given us this morning. Proverbs 11, verse number 30. If you will stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Proverbs 11, verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Let us pray this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, today for your blessings on us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to be able to stand behind the sacred desk. I pray, God, this morning, Lord, you'd help us to say the things you'd have us to say and guard our lips of clay, that we'd say not say those things, Lord, to be a hindrance to the people, to your service, to the work of God this morning. I pray, God, that we'd, Lord, edify, Lord, this morning, the people, God, this morning, and encourage, Lord, it's my heart's desire, Father, to do the will of God this morning. I pray, God, you'd help us. I pray, Lord, you'd touch us, Lord, in a special way. Lord, I pray if there's any lost, save them, convict their heart. Lord, if there's any, Lord, God, this morning that may be cold and indifferent, I pray, God, that they get it on altar. Lord, get their heart right with you, God, today. We love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen this morning. Now I want to look at this text here this morning, very familiar passage of Scripture, especially that verse. And we all know it this morning, and he that winneth souls is wise this morning. We understand that from the Word of God, and I believe this morning. I believe Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Amen. And it is our instruction between us and men. They say the Psalms, you think about Psalms, it's an instruction book also, but it's our instruction between us and God. It's how we have our relationship with Him. It deals with worship and fellowship with God and righteousness. We think about how the book of Proverbs, we talk about those simple things that we deal with man. And I find it interesting in this text that we see here in verse number 30, the Bible tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. And there must be a pattern, and I believe there is in this entire chapter, chapter number 11, how that deals with our way that we should win souls, how we live our life, the conduct between us and people, and how we can be soul winners in our day-to-day life. And I think that is probably maybe one of the most forgotten things in our life. And, you know, sometimes we put all of the soul winning on the church. And I've talked to people and they say, well, I've invited people to church. And that's a wonderful thing. And I think we should do that. But more than inviting people to church, we should be able to give them the gospel ourselves, to be able to share the good news, the truth of God's word. And you say, well, I'm backwards, well, I'm this, I'm that. You know, we can make a lot of excuses for ourselves. But in reality, God has given us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in this text here this morning, we're going to look at how our lives in itself is a preaching of the gospel. Think about that this morning. Our lives tells the story about what God did for you and I. My life, the life that I live, should show that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me. And we're going to look at that here this morning. I think here in this text, we find contrast between righteousness and wickedness that takes place in this text. And you'll see that here in a moment. We understand there's a great contrast. And righteousness is out of a life of holiness. When I understand there's a difference, Brother Sam, in holy living, holy life, and righteous living. We understand that holiness, Brother Bobby, this morning, we can only live holy if we're saved by the grace of God. But just as that, this morning, we can only live righteous if we're saved by the grace of God. And righteousness is born out of a life of holiness this morning. And I think in our churches today, I think it is a great crime against Christianity to say that we are holy this morning and do not live a righteous life. Because it's very important this morning. You look at that verse this morning, he said, how the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous. And that's what I want to look at here this morning. How righteous living this morning cannot be overstated. We must live right among men. I worked on the public job for 15 years at one place, Brother Laddie. And I know you did at EPB for many years. But how we conduct ourselves with those people that we're around, I will tell the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what God has done for us. And that is sometimes more important than inviting somebody to the house of God. Most of the time they will not even come if our life is contrary to the word of God this morning. So a righteous life this morning. And I want to look just at a few things here this morning and I'll get out of the way. But I want to give you what God's laid on our heart this morning. The first thing I want to look at verse number 17 with me this morning. Verse number 17. And I pray this is very practical. I'm not trying to feel on emotions this morning. I'm not trying to do any of that. But what I want to do is just try to be practical this morning. And I love these morning services. And that's one of the reasons I love them. And I pray that it'll be a help to you. But look at verse number 17. The Bible says this. He said, the merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh this morning. And I believe this morning, you and I, by living a righteous life, you and I must live a life that gives life. Amen. We must live a life that gives life this morning. And in order to do that, in order to live a life that is going to produce life, you and I must show compassion and kindness. You know, compassion's been mentioned a couple of times already in this meeting, and I think it is very, very important that we understand that we should show compassion. I know Brother Ellis dealt with that last night, and he said there's three types of compassion in the Word of God. And I'm telling you today, friend, we in our generation of Christianity, we are lacking compassion like never before. Hey, we need to show kindness on those that are... I'm glad, thank God, today, Brother Sam, has somebody show compassion on me. Hey, most of all, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, showed a little bit of kindness and compassion on me. I'm telling you today, friend, if he hadn't have come to me, I would have never been saved. But I'm glad, thank God, today, friend, hey, if we're going to live a life that produces life, we're going to have to be kind one to another. The Bible commands us this morning to be kind to each other this morning. Think about that. In Proverbs 11:17, he said, the merciful man. Hey, we've got to show mercy. We've got to show compassion and kindness. Brother Laddie and I, the other day on Saturday, we were on visitation and we were talking about homeless people. I have a special place in my heart for homeless people. Amen. And it's very difficult sometimes for me to pass by them and not stop and help them in some way. And, you know, a lot of times we think about those people that are standing there and we think, man, they're in those positions because of what they've done. Yeah. And without a shadow of a doubt this morning, they are. I'm telling you, it is their choices, Brother Sam, that's why they're there. But that does not mean we can't show them compassion. Doesn't mean we can't be kind to them. I'm reminded of what Brother Ellis said last night about taking those biker gangs and funneling them through that church. And that pastor's like, no way, you're not bringing them here. because of who they are. Because of what they've done. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, when Jesus looked on me. I'm telling you, the things that I'd done in my life. The life that I'd lived contrary to Him. He didn't look at me, Brother Whitlow, and said, nope, he's not good enough. I'm telling you, he's done too much wrong, too much bad. He's treated bad people badly. I'm glad, thank God, that He looked past that, beyond that. He looked beyond to what I was and seen what I could be. You know, that's what we've got to do with people. We've got to look beyond what they are and see what they can be. We go into the public schools on a regular basis and talk to young people. And ever so often we'll get in a situation where God has just really impressed on my heart in certain kids to pray for them. And I look at them, Brother Simpson, I say, man, God could really use somebody like that. These kids have no idea what God could do with them. They're not saved. They don't understand the things of God. Hey, but when I look at them, I see the possibilities. Yeah. I'm telling you today, friend, I was a nobody. Headed to hell. I'm telling you, I was an outcast of the world. I was a rebel. Hey, but thank God, God looked at me and seen something He could use. Yes. God is doing more with me today than I ever thought humanly possible. I've been more places. I've stood behind pulpits I never thought I would. I'm telling you today, friend, God can use us. Hey, God can use them.
That's right.
You think about it today. I do believe this. I believe kindness and compassion is a necessity for salvation. Life is about relationships. And a lot of people ask us, well, what's it like in the public schools? What's it all about? And I tell them all the time, I said, I'm there to build a relationship with these kids.
That's right.
I want, you know, in the bus ministry, Brother Gravely mentioned the bus ministry. 5.5 years, Mindy and I, we were over the bus ministry here, and man, we loved it. Yep. Loved every single service, we loved it. Loved every minute of it. 65 to 100 kids a week we packed on those buses. Man, it was wonderful. But you know, the reality is those kids, every single one of them, we picked up on a Sunday morning, could have been the only Sunday we ever had them.
That's right.
We understood that our chances with those kids were very limited.
Yeah.
So we wanted to show them all the love, all the kindness and compassion we could in that very moment.
Yeah.
We go through our days, Brother Noah, and see people all around us. And I understand we have busy lives. We have things to do. We can't stop at every corner. I understand that today. But I'm telling you today, we're missing the reality of how God wants us to win souls. I'm telling you today, friend, God wants us to take the time. How Brother Crisp already mentioned that. Or Brother
Sykes.
I don't forget your name. But Brother Sykes mentioned it takes time.
That's right.
Sometimes it's rough terrain. Brother Laddie talked about how we got everybody together and we went down to the homeless and we passed out those things.
Yeah.
Brother Laddie mentioned how he had never thought we crawl around through the woods in Chattanooga, Tennessee and watch people climbing out of tents in trash heaps.
Yeah.
Those obscure places, Brother Whitlow. What I'm talking about is just showing kindness and compassion this morning.
Yeah.
We've got to look at those that are less fortunate. You know, the Bible tells us this, the poor we'll have with us always. We're afraid to give of ourselves and our time, and I don't want to get ahead of myself this morning. But I think of John chapter number 13, verses 34 and 35. He said, a new covenant, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
Amen.
If you have love one to another.
That's right.
The reality is how I treat you, Brother Sam.
That's it.
Despite our differences.
That's right.
Despite who we are.
That's right.
Shows that I am trying to serve God with my life.
Yes.
I want to be a soul winner, not just in my words, but in my deeds, in my action. Yes. I want to be a soul winner in how I treat others, Brother Whitlow.
Yes.
My day-to-day life, I'm not boasting in myself and I wished I could have done more, but 15 years on the railroad, 15 years there, I wanted to be the same, Brother Allen. I wanted to be the same every single day. I never wanted to listen to the dirty jokes, and I always wanted to be a witness, and I never wanted to beat these men over the head with a Bible and try to tell them every time they'd done something that they were wrong. I'm telling you, they knew where I stood for 15 years. Hey, I give the gospel. I'm telling you today, friend, I had more people from Norfolk Southern come to our Christmas plays and come to our dinners and come to services. I had supervisors and managers and Catholics and different groups of people come. I just wanted to be the same.
That's right.
We got to show love and kindness to everybody. Sometimes we get a problem with one person or one group of people, and boy, we don't like what they did, and then we turn our backs on them this morning. Yeah. Matthew 25:35, he says, "For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." I thought about this. So I was talking to Brother Laddie again, began to talk about Norman. I don't know, Brother Grab, if you remember Norman, the Honduran man. And Brother Daniel Dye and I, we went down to the community kitchen. I'd spoke to this man probably a day or two before this. He was on the railroad track while I was working there, and he come up to me, and he was drunk as a skunk. I mean, he really was. But he had a bilingual Bible. Spanish on one side, English on the other. And he couldn't speak a lick of English. And he began to talk to me, and he wanted me to tell him what the Bible said. And I told him there was a man with him, Alejandro was with him, and could speak a little English. I told him, I said, tell Norman to come back tomorrow. I said, meet me here, and I'm going to bring somebody that can talk to him. And Brother Daniel Dye and I went down there, and Brother Daniel Dye was able to lead him to the Lord.
Amen.
Right there on the street corner.
Hallelujah.
And people thought we were crazy, probably still think we're crazy, but I brought that man to my home.
Yeah.
A homeless man from a foreign country. I brought him into my home. Celebrated Christmas with him. His favorite movie was Sandlot. He'd sit in there and watch Sandlot all day. You say, well, that's kind of dangerous. Well, it is, but I slept with a chair under the doorknob. All the kids slept in my bedroom and my pistol close by.
That's right.
I'm not talking about being unsaved.
That's right.
But I'm talking about doing things that are unusual for the souls of men.
Yep, that's right.
Brought him to our family Christmas at my mother and father-in-law's, and Mindy's mom and dad. They bought him all kinds of gifts, and they fed him all day long. He stayed with them all day and just enjoyed himself. Last time I looked for him, we put him up in a motel, the men in the prayer room, got together, and they took up some money. We put him up in my motel, extended stay for a couple of weeks. He told me, he said, I've got to make it on my own. But he'd come in the prayer room, and he'd shout.
Yes.
Well, he enjoyed the services. He ended up making it down to the rescue mission, Chattanooga Rescue Mission there. And I went by there one time to see if I could find him, and Alejandro was there. I said, where's Norman? And he said he had to go back to Honduras. He said he wanted to tell all of his family what God had done for him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise.
That's what it's about.
That's right.
That's what Christianity is.
That's right.
It's not just coming to church. It's not what we do here as much as what we take from here and do out there.
Yeah, right.
Our life this morning has to be lived in a way that it'll affect those around us.
That's right.
If our life, Brother Crisp, is not affecting the people around us, then we're salt that's lost its savor this morning.
Yes.
Not only that, this morning, I do believe we've got to show love and kindness this morning, but we must stay true to our integrity this morning.
Amen.
Vital part, look at verse number 3. The Bible says this, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them." You and I must live an honest life. We must, just like I told you about those bus kids, every single Saturday we went and visited those kids without fail. Every Sunday morning we picked them up at the time we said we would. Hey, why? Why is it very important to do what we say we're going to do this morning? I know this is simple this morning. Hey, but I'm telling you, it's a thing that we're missing in this generation. Hey, you and I today, friend, we must be honest in our dealings. We've got to have an integrity. Hey, integrity is doing right when nobody else is watching. I'm telling you today, friend, we must have Christian character this morning. Hey, Brother Noah, when we tell a church as missionaries that we're doing a certain thing, hey, we need to be doing that this morning. Hey, as a Christian, hey, we ought to do what we say we're going to do this morning. Business owners, so many times now, they're not wanting to hire Christians. They're not wanting to hire Christians. So they got a bad testimony. They won't show up on time. They won't give a full day's wage. Hey, I'm not trying to beat you up this morning. Hey, I'm just telling you this morning, it matters how we live our life, and integrity is an important part of that. Hey, when we tell somebody we're going to do something, we ought to do it. Hey, I'm telling you today, friend, it matters. It matters. Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse 22, he said, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. You know, I think, Brother Saunders, I think it's real easy for us to tell somebody. They invite us somewhere to do something. And I know this is a simple analogy, but yeah, I'll come. When it comes down to it, we're trying to figure out how we're going to get out of it. You know what I found out, Brother Gravely? Long before us preachers ever preached these messages, God preaches them to us. Hey, this is for me this morning just as much as it is anybody else. I do the same thing sometimes. Hey, we ought to be honest. Say, you know what? I just don't have time, or I'm not going to be able to do that, or I don't want to do that, whatever it may be. Yes. Hey, be honest with people this morning. He said in Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Think about that this morning. Lie not one to another, to see that ye have put off the old man with the deeds. Dishonesty this morning is part of that old man. The old man. Now, I'm not saying that we're never going to lie again as Christians. We mess up all the time. Hey, but we ought to do our dead level best. How to be honest with people. To have integrity in what we do. Hey, to do the right thing every time.
That's right.
We avoid people. We'll change the places we go to eat, so they can't come. Oh, we're not going nowhere. Yep. We do that. Boy, we're not showing love and kindness to people. You know, sometimes you're not gonna get along with everybody. That's a reality. Right. Everybody's not gonna be your cup of tea.
That's right.
But you know what? If you can't get along with everybody,
amen,
they're not the problem, you are.
Amen. That's good preaching. That's right.
And that's a reality today. It's not them. Man, we should have a ministry of restoration. Hey, somebody does something wrong, we ought to bring them back in. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, that man was caught in that incestual relationship. Man, they put him outside the church. Church discipline is still right, Brother Sam.
That's right.
But if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, forgiveness was in order. They restored that man.
Amen.
They brought him back in. They didn't want the devil to get a foothold in his life and destroy him, Brother Chris. I tell you, we push people out of our lives and away from us because we don't want to deal with them, or don't want them around, or we don't like them, or whatever it may be. I'm telling you, that is the number one driver of cliques in our churches. That's what it is. And you and I today, friend, we can't be a soul winner if we live a life like that. Brother Sam, we can't live a life before God that is honest and true. A life of integrity if we live in a life of dishonesty. This 1 Corinthians 16:13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. You and I this morning, we've got to be strong. I'll hurry this morning. Nextly, I want to notice this, is we ought to share generously. Look at Proverbs 11:25 this morning. Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also of himself. It's the sowing and reaping is what we see here this morning. The liberal soul shall be made fat.
Yes.
You and I, God gives to us that we can give. And you see those people around you, especially those less fortunate. I know this is a giving church this morning. But there's a lot more that we can give. Amen. We look around our houses, man, and we're so blessed. Amen. We're so blessed.
Yes, yes.
We have, God has given to us so much.
Amen.
And how much, I'm not saying all of it, but how much of that is just because, oh man, you know, I just wanted this and wanted that and wanted this and wanted, and we just stack these things up. We have so much stuff we don't even have closet space for it.
Yeah.
Why do we do that?
Right.
Why do we do that? Do you think the Apostle Paul had a corner in a tent that was packed full of stuff from you know, the sale aisle down at the store? That's not reality. Hey, that may be the age of prosperity that we live in, Brother Mark, but that's not really how it's supposed to be.
Amen.
We're to give, and God shall give. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you today, friends, giving to the work of God. You think about missions conference this morning, how we come in and we give our money. And I have a number on my heart, and I'll not share it this morning by no means, but I have a number on my heart, the end game. And I think every one of us should have an end goal of what you would want God to allow you to give.
That's right.
God hadn't put that number on my heart. I'm not able to give that yet. But I have a number, and it's huge. It's a big number, Brother Saunders. And I want to do that. I want to get there. I want God to be able to meet that need. I want to be able to give that number. Hey, not that I can boast on myself this morning, huh? Hey, but that I can say God is able to do it. I want to give everything I can to Him. Hey, without Him, Brother Noah, I'd be dead and in hell today, friend. Hey, I want to give everything that I can. We live in the most selfish generation that I've ever seen. And it is worse and worse than you could even imagine in our schools today. Our young people are filled with the ideology that they have to have material things. It's all about what you have in this generation.
Amen.
I don't need anything today, friend. I need nothing. If it was, most of you men are this way. If it wasn't for our wife and kids, we could live in a shack in the woods. Now, we just don't need much. I mean, I need very little this morning. But I want to be able to give generously today.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 9, look at verses number 6 and 7. He says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, for God loveth a cheerful giver." I've heard a lot of people say it this way: I'm not going to give that homeless man a little piece of money. I'm not gonna give them anything. They're just gonna use it for the wrong thing. Well, number one, that is not our responsibility.
Yeah.
to see what they do with it.
Right.
That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be generous, to give. And I told a church the other day, I said, look, I was at the tent meeting, and I told them the other day, I said, look, I said, if you can get them here, I said, tell them you'll buy them a steak dinner, pay their car payment. I don't care what it is. You say, why? Why? Because if we can just get them under the preaching, what God could do for them. And I say that jokingly. I understand that. What are you willing to give for your family to be saved?
Amen.
You got a mom or a dad, brothers or sisters that's going to hell.
Right.
What would you pay for their salvation?
Yeah.
Are you doing what it takes? Are you giving in a way that you've never given before? You know, it takes money for missions. It takes money to get the gospel around the world. He said in Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I think it is very important that we give and give generously. Not only that, this morning, look at verse number 12 in this text. "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace." We ought to speak wisely and gracefully. Speak wisely and gracefully. Why is it important how we talk? Boy, I know this is simple this morning, and I hope I'm not killing the meeting. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. When we talk, Brother Whitlow, we should talk in a way that's going to invite people to Christ.
Yes.
Not in a prideful way.
That's right.
Not in a boisterous way. Not in a way that draws attention to ourselves. Brother Laddie, we ought to talk to people like they're people.
Amen.
Not talk down to them. Not talk to them like they're dumb. Boy, I'm telling you today, we live in a political world. That's what it seems, especially on the left, man. Talk down to people like we don't know what we're talking about. Hey, you know, I go in a lot of prisons, and well, and the school's the same. You know what I found out is people just want to be treated like people.
Yeah.
They just want to be treated the same. They don't want to be looked over. They don't want to be treated like they're less than. And I'm telling you today, if we're ever gonna win somebody to Christ, we can't talk down to them. We can't look at them like they don't know what they're doing in life. I'm telling you today, they're doing all they know to do. When I lived for myself and the devil and the world, I did all that I knew to do. I'm telling you today, friend, we cannot look down on people. Can't talk down. We ought to talk in a way that would lift them up. James 1:19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Everything we say today is about the person that hears what we say. We're more concerned about what we say, and we should watch our speech. But we got to be concerned to how it affects the person that is hearing.
Right.
You know, the old statement is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words cannot hurt me.
That's right.
That's a false statement.
That's, right.
That's not true.
True.
How many people have left our churches,
yes,
left conversations, because we said something that was very brash,
yes,
something that was very hard?
Yes.
I'm not talking about compromise, but what I'm talking about is when we talk to somebody, we ought to treat them like a human being,
amen,
like we would want to be treated. You know, the Word of God tells us that.
Right.
Not only that this morning, but we've got to show forgiveness. Proverbs 11:23, the Bible says this, the desire of the righteous is only good. Only good. What does that mean this morning? We ought to treat people like we want to be treated.
Amen.
Treat them right. Boy, we all make mistakes. I make mistakes on a daily basis. I'm telling you, I wish I could go through a day without making them. But unfortunately, I don't. But you know what I do need? I need forgiveness, Brother Sam.
Amen.
And if we need forgiveness, surely they need forgiveness.
That's right.
If we're willing to forgive them, then God, the Bible said, is willing to forgive us. Ephesians 4:32, and it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, I think probably one of the hardest things to do in our Christian lives is to forgive people. You know the word forgive. I teach a lesson on forgiveness in schools. You know the word forgive means to forget as if it never happened. That's difficult, friend.
Amen.
And I tell these kids, they ask me one time, say, when a friend does me wrong, and this was the question that was posed, a friend does me wrong, am I supposed to just forgive them and let them be my friend again? And the answer is no. You forgive them like it never happened. But that doesn't mean they take that same position again. They have to earn that respect.
Amen.
Respect is earned. Forgiveness should be given to everybody this morning.
Amen.
We should forgive those. Why? Because God forgiven us. 6:14, Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I want to notice lastly, and I'm done this morning, secure souls, secure souls. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. 1 Peter 3:15, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Matthew 5:16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think Matthew 5:16 is a very important verse for us this morning. Very important. Why? Because it's talking about the world around them, that they may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. The way I live my life on a daily basis, every single day, Brother Sam, will allow others around me to glorify Him. If they can see Christ in me, boy, I'll win more souls. You're talking about being a soul winner today, friend. Being a soul winner is about living a life that is pleasing to God, living a righteous life, a life that is right before men. If we're ever going to do anything for God, we've got to make sure we got the full package. It's not just tract distribution, and that's wonderful. It's not just an invitation to church, and that's wonderful. It's not just getting on a stump and preaching the gospel. Boy, us preachers are real bad about that. We neglect sometimes that personal one-on-one relationship that we must build with every single man that we come in contact with. That God would allow us. That we could be a true soul winner. He that winneth souls is wise. Brother Sasser talked about that repeated. He said, we'd go back, we'd give them five helmets, then we'd go back. Five helmets, then we'd go back. Why? To build a relationship.
That's right.
So they could see your love for Him first and then for them. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much, or nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's